All right. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for gathering us together to be in your house to worship you. Be with us as we study thy word. I'm an empty vessel. I pray that you fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the ability to preach this now. I pray that we could be good ground, that we may bear fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 2, verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers of money and overthrew the tables. So notice that he walks into this temple and sees a lot going on. These animals that they were selling sacrificial animals for the sacrifice. And understand this, the money changers, they were under the Roman Empire at the time and had Roman currency. And so everyone 20 years and older must give half a shekel for an offering at that time. Go with me to Exodus chapter 30 real quick, but hold your place just to talk about the shekel for a minute. Go with me to Exodus chapter 30, verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. This they shall give every one that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs, and half shekel shall be offered of the Lord. Everyone that passeth among them that are numbered from 20 years above and old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. So they had to give half a shekel. Now they were under the Roman Empire, under Roman currency, and they had to give a shekel. So what they would do, these scribes and Pharisees, would trade Roman currency for Jewish currency so that they can give that shekel right back to them. So they were making a bunch of money doing this and manipulating the people. So they were likely making a huge profit doing this. And so verse 15 of John chapter 2, when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers of money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence and make not my father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was rise from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracle which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. All right, so he told them that he was going to destroy this temple, and in 3 days he was going to build it again. And he was talking about his death and resurrection. And understand that this happened in his first year of public ministry. He was about 30 years old at the time, and he cleansed this temple. And he does this again towards the end of his public ministry. After his triumphant entry, he does this same thing again of cleansing this temple after his triumphant entry. But one thing that the Jews said unto him was, 46 years was this temple in building. One thing to point out here, Solomon's temple was built in 7 years, and it was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar's army about 586 B.C. The second temple was built, and it was recorded in Ezra, and it took about 20 years. And then Antiochus Epiphanes plundered this temple and desecrated this temple by offering a sacrifice of a pig on the altar to his god Zeus. And understand, this is a Jewish altar, and this Greek pagan offers a pig on this Jewish altar. And so Antiochus Epiphanes basically makes a mess of things. And then later this led to the Maccabean revolt, and the temple was cleansed and rededicated. And this is celebrated today by the Jews as Hanukkah. Hanukkah is what they celebrate to remember them cleansing that temple. And then the Romans further plundered this temple after the Greeks fell and the Romans captured that area. And the temple was rebuilt under Herod the Great. And he started building or remodeling that temple somewhere around 20 BC. And it says 46 years was this temple in building. So if he started remodeling that temple around 20 BC, then around 26 AD, he was finished with it. So this was a brand spanking new temple, and there was a lot of wickedness going on inside of it. And the Lord goes in and he runs a lot of things out. Well, whenever you get saved, you become the temple of the Lord, right? Amen. You are a brand new temple, and whenever you get saved, you become a temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord moves inside of you and starts running some things out, doesn't he? He starts doing that. So turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19. First Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And whenever Jesus moves into our heart, he starts driving some things out, does he not? So the title of this message is, How Are You Treating Your Temple? So go with me to 1 Kings chapter 8. How are you treating your temple? First Kings chapter 8, verse 12. First point I want to make is your temple dedicated? 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Solomon, the Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness, I have surely built thee an house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. And the king turned his face about and blessed all the congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which spake with his mouth unto David, my father, and hath with his hand fulfilled it, saying, Since the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build an house that my name might be therein. But I chose David to be over my people Israel. And it was in the heart of David my father to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David, my father, whereas it was in thine heart to build an house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son that shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house unto my name. And the Lord hath performed his work that spake, his word that he spake, and I am risen up in the room of David, my father, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. Understand this, that Solomon is speaking here. This is David's son, and it was in the heart of David to build a temple for the glory of God. But God said, you will not build that temple. Your son, Solomon, was. But we are the temple of the Holy Spirit because of everything that God's son, Jesus, did. So this is a picture or a typology of us being the temple of the Holy Spirit, all because of God's son and what he did for us. And in this, he dedicated this temple that he built in the place of his father for the name of the Lord God of Israel. So he dedicated this temple. Is your temple dedicated? Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A lot of you probably have that verse memorized. So we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Is your temple dedicated? Whenever Solomon dedicated this temple, it was dedicated and people would pray towards this temple. People would look towards this temple and pray to the Lord. Whenever people look at you, does your body point to Jesus Christ or does it point somewhere else? Is your temple dedicated? So how are you treating your temple? Next point I'm wanting to make is, are there idols in your temple? Turn with me to 2 Chronicles 33. Second Chronicles chapter 33. Verse 1, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. And he reared up altars for Balaam and made groves and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. So what he was doing was he was building altars in the very temple of the Lord towards the host of heaven, towards angelic beings in the very house of God. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also, he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with familiar spirits and with wizards. And he wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image, the idol which he made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. So he put an idol right in the middle of this tabernacle. Again, we are temples of the Holy Spirit. Do you have idols in your temple? You realize you can be saved and you be living for the Lord, and then next thing you know, it's something else becomes a bigger priority. Something comes up in your life and you make an idol out of it, and something silly could become an idol in your temple. Many Christians have a little pet sin. Many Christians prioritize their job, their family, problems over God. Many Christians prioritize football over God. That's a big problem in Christianity. Have you seen the excitement in the crowd at a football game? Yet in probably, I would probably say 90% of the churches today, it's nowhere near the excitement. Nobody's excited to be in the church. Nobody's excited about the study of the Word of God. Nobody's excited about lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. But whenever you put them in front of a football field or watch it on the screen, everybody is at the edge of their seat. Everybody is more excited than the people in the average church in America today. Are there idols in your temple? Most Christians, a lot of Christians, are more devoted to their favorite television show than they are their personal Bible study and even their prayer life. There are Christians, we mentioned this morning, overseas in India, getting persecuted for their faith. I received a video through email of Christians in India being drug out into the streets and beat with sticks for their faith. But the average Christian in America won't even go to church for his faith. And we sometimes run to the altar and say, Lord, will you please bless America? God ain't going to bless America till we learn how to bless God. Are there idols in your temple? We go to church, we listen to the pastor, we nod our heads, we say amen, and we sometimes lay our problems before the Lord and we pick them right back up and walk out the door with them. We lay our little pet sins before the altar and we say, Lord, I'm giving this to you, I'm going to put it down and I'm never going to pick it back up again, and we pick it right back up and walk out the door with it. And then we go home and live for the devil all week, and then we come back. Are there idols in your temple? And if this message offends you, this may be for you. There may be idols in your temple. the Lord did not apologize whenever he made a scourge and drove some things out. And he wants to drive some things out of your temple, if you'll let him. Is your temple treasure for sale? Is your temple treasure for sale? Go with me to 2 Kings chapter 16. Second Kings chapter 16. Verse 1. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and did not that which was right in the sight of God, of the Lord his God, like David his father. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places, and on the hills, and under every green tree. Then Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to war. And they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him. And at that time, Rezin, king of Syria, recovered Elath to Syria, and drave the Jews from Elath. And the Syrians came to Elath and dwelt there unto this day. So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I am thy servant and thy son. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Syria and out of the hand of the king of Israel, which rise up against me. And Ahaz took the silver and gold that was found in the house of the Lord. He took silver and gold out of this temple, and in the treasures of the king's house, and sent it for a present to the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria hearkened unto him, for the king of Assyria went up against Damascus and took it and carried the people of it captive to Kir and slew Rezin. So he took treasures out of the house of the Lord and gave it to a pagan Assyrian king, and asked him to join our alliance and help me. He had the sure mercies of David. He was a king of Judah and had the sure mercies of David, and he could have claimed that promise that God had made him and put his trust in God to deliver him out of the enemy's hands. But he sacrificed treasures from the Lord and gave it to a person that's really will later become an enemy to him for a temporary help. And whenever you give something over to the devil, he's always going to come back for more, isn't he? Oh, yeah. Let's go to chapter 18. Another king in Judah. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 13. 2 Kings 18, verse 13. Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, there's Assyria coming back for more money, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Return from me that which thou puttest on me, and I will bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. He's wanting more gold and silver. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. And that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Assyria. He is literally tearing the temple apart to pay off this king that's just going to keep coming back for more and for more and for more. And oftentimes that devil will come to us and knock on our door and want something. He's wanting your temple treasure, and we surrender, we throw up our hands, and we give him treasures that neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor thieves nor break through or steal. He will tempt us with a sin or something, and we will give in to that temptation instead of yielding to the Lord. And then while we're off living in sin, we're not leading others to Christ. We're not working for the Lord. We're not leading others to Christ. And there are heavenly treasures that we could be laying up for ourselves in heaven, but we're too busy wallowing in sin, and we are paying the devil with our temple treasures. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where neither moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. So there are heavenly treasures that we get whenever we are working for the Lord, whenever we are serving Him. But if we're living in sin, we're not laying up these treasures. And there's people that we could be leading to the Lord, but we're not whenever we are yielded to the devil. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 11. This is talking about the judgment seat of Christ. After the rapture, every Christian, this is Christians now, saved people, they will be raptured up and then they will be judged for their service. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So He did all the work for us. He died on the cross for our sins, and we believed on Him, and we trust Him. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, our works cannot save us now. He died for our sins, but after we get saved, He rewards us based on our service. There are some people who will get nothing in heaven, and there will be people who get rewards in heaven. Verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So think of it like a wheelbarrow. You have a wheelbarrow, and you're putting gold, you're putting silver, you're putting wood, you're putting hay and stubble on this metal wheelbarrow, and you're pulling it through a furnace. That wood, hay, and stubble is going to burn up, ain't it? And the only thing that's going to be left on that wheelbarrow is your gold and the silver and everything else. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, that's the wood, hay, and the stubble, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So there will be people in heaven after the judgment seat of Christ with no crown to lay at His feet. They will have nothing. Look at verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwell in you? And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. If you are misrepresenting God, if you are a saved Christian and you go out living for the devil, God will destroy your temple in the sense of cut your life short. If you go out and you drink all the time and everything, you'll probably get liver cancer and die. If you smoke 3 or 4 packs of cigarettes a day, that will destroy your lungs and it will cut your life short. But go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. There was a person in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that was mentioned. Verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that the one should have his father's wife. There was a person in the church at Corinth that was running around with his father's wife, and he's saying, this is a sin that's not even named among the pagans, the Gentiles. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath done this thing. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, and that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is a possibility that if somebody's living for the flesh, their body will die, but yet their spirit and soul may still be saved. But he will destroy that temple. If you want to live for the Lord, live for the Lord, because he can cut your life short, because he is not going to let somebody live on earth and misrepresent him. Whenever he's not going to let somebody misrepresent him. Are there idols in your temple? Is your temple treasure for sale? If your temple treasure is for sale, you will be in heaven, but you will be in heaven with no reward, no crown to lay at his feet. Is your temple treasure for sale? Maybe in the case of a lost person, they are not the temple of the Lord, but they are a temple of high places. If you're in here today and you're lost, you have a temple or a house of high places. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 12. Verse 27. Jeroboam does not want people to go to Jerusalem and sacrifice in the temple. And he says, if this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Jeroboam, king of Judah. So at this time, Israel is divided between the northern tribes of Israel and Judah. And he knows that Jerusalem is in Judah and the temple is in Jerusalem. So he goes and he makes a fake temple. And they shall kill me and go again unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. So this king, motivated by envy, motivated by greed, created a false religion. Whereupon the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. So he creates a false savior with a very similar message. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. Notice he says it's too much for you to go too far. He motivates them with convenience. The gods of this world. Everything is all about convenience today. Anything that will steer you away from God and keep you from believing the gospel, it's always more convenient. The devil will always try to make it more convenient. And he set the one in Bethel and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not the sons of Levi. So he said that he will make priests that were not qualified. The sons of Levi, the children of Levi, were set to be the priests in Jerusalem, but he chose anybody he could. And the Bible says that the lowest of the people were the people that he chose. And he made a temple. He called it the House of High Places. Verse 32, and Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. Very similar story, but totally different thing. And he offered upon the altar, so did he in Bethel, and sacrificing unto the calves that he had made, and he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the 8th month, even unto the month which he had devised of his own heart. Of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. You realize that if you are not trusting Christ, if you are not believing the gospel, of faith alone in Christ alone, believing the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, and you think that you are going to get to heaven by your own works, by your own good works, it is a house of high places, not a house of the temple of God. Notice that a lot of Christian denominations teach that a works-based salvation. A lot of unsaved people with the name Christian on the church sign will preach a works-based gospel lots of times and will deceive people. They name the name of Jesus Christ every Sunday, but then they teach works in order to get saved. That is a false gospel, and it will lead you to hell. It will lead you to hell. And lots of times people think that they are doing the service of God whenever they are doing the very service of the devil. And in here, these people thought that they were doing the service of God, but they were doing the service of a greedy king, motivated by total greed. That devil is motivated by total greed. And he will pervert the gospel. He has many false religions out there. And a lot of them have a similar half-truth just to get you in the door. And then they pin you down with good works and religion. Your good works and religion are filthy rags. Jesus Christ died on that cross for your sins. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lived a sinless, perfect life here on this earth, something you and I are totally incapable of doing. And he died on that old rugged cross for our sins. And he rose from the grave on that third day, proving that he is the Son of God, proving that he is who he says he was, who he is, and proving that he is able to save to the uttermost. And if you will trust him and him alone, he will save you forever. That's the message for you if you're lost. But if you are saved, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. How are you treating your temple? How are you treating your temple? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I gave them the message that you laid on my heart. I pray that you may be glorified through this message. And if there's one here today that don't know you as Savior, I pray that today can be the day of salvation where they trust you alone as their Savior. Maybe there's somebody here, Lord, that is misrepresenting you, this mistreating their temple. I pray that today they can come to this altar and give it to you and start treating their temple right and representing you. I ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Every head bowed and all eyes closed. Maybe you're in here today and this message is for you. Maybe you're in here today and you're not living for the Lord. You may be saved, but you're not living for the Lord and you're mistreating your temple. I invite you to come and give that to the Lord today and start treating your temple right. Maybe you're in here today and you are a temple of high places and you need to get saved. We're about to do an altar call and I invite you to come today.